Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Peter. You're awesome. Thank you, Peter, for that music. Well, now to the message for today. I believe that God has given me a message for you, and it's going to start in Genesis. As I think most things started in Genesis. Is that right? It's the beginning of everything, right? So we're going to begin today just as it was, beginning in Genesis. Now, before we start reading this, Genesis chapter 1, today some places around the world and some churches are calling it Graduation Sunday, and there's a lot of different messages that are going to be preached about graduation, about this and that and the other that has to do with graduation. But I believe God had given me a special message, not just for graduates, but for everybody. Amen? I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you have been somewhere in your life that you've been at a crossroads? And if you don't know what a crossroad is, I like the definition of things, and I wanted to know a little bit more in depth what a crossroad was, because maybe I didn't really understand what a crossroad was. Amen, right? So a crossroad is an intersection. Simple enough, right? An intersection where two or more roads come together, amen? And if you're in a car or you're on a bicycle or you're walking, you come to an intersection or a place where two roads meet, you have a decision to make. Where am I going to go, right? Do I go straight? Do I go right? Do I go left? Do I make a U-turn? Right? Amen? Those are decisions that we have to make at a crossroad. And so I believe the word of the day for us today here at Faith Ministries and for you who are here is, what do we do at the crossroads? There are a lot of songs and a lot of movies out there that talk about crossroads. But what does the Bible say about being at a point in your life and then having to choose what it is am I going to do now? What it is am I going to do? Which path am I going to take? Which road am I going to be on? Amen? So let's start in Genesis 1, because this is going to set the foundation, I think, set the tone for what we're talking about. In Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to read some verses here, but I think we all understand the account of Genesis 1, yes? Everything was created, right? Everything kind of was put into being. There was a point, and we can say point A, where nothing existed except for God, right? And then there was a crossroad, I believe, that God was at. What am I going to do? I want to make something, right? I want to create something. So God made a choice, and he created all these things we see in Genesis 1, yes? That was his decision. That was the choice that he made. And so let's look at what it says about what he created. Most of us probably know this by heart. But verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Literally, there was nothing. God chose then to create something. You understand what I'm saying? There was nothing. God had absolutely nothing there, and then he created the heavens and the earth. Amen? So there was nothing, and then there was something. There was a point A, and then there was a point B, where now something was, yes? Verse 2, the earth was formless and empty and darkness, covered with deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Verse 2 again. There was nothing on earth, and then there was something. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Again, there was darkness, and then there was light. See, there was something before, but then there was something even better after. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 4, and God saw the light was good. They separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed, and the morning came, marking the first day. Verse 6, then God said this, there will be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens and the waters of the earth. Apparently there was no space that separated. And now God said, you know what? Let there be a space separating the waters. So there was, again, nothing and then something, right? Let's move down to verse 9. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together in one place so the dry ground may appear. Again, there was something, a whole bunch of water and no ground. And then all of a sudden God said, you know what? I want there to be ground, so let the waters go into this one single place, and now there's ground showing. I hope you're following me. Amen. Verse 11. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. again. There was nothing. And then God said, hey, we need to have this. So now there's a choice that God planted all over the earth, new vegetation. So a new thing came out. Amen? A new thing has been coming out this whole time we've been reading Genesis. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 20. Then God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. There wasn't any fish or birds. And then God said, hey, let's fill with fish and birds. Again, there was nothing, and then there was something. Verse 24. Then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And then that is what happened. There wasn't any land animals. And then a decision was made, and something came forth from that decision that was good. Amen? And the last one, verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. That's good. There was a decision that was made that said, hey, there was no humans on earth, but hey, let's make them in our own image. And then now we have humans, and now we're here. How many ever years later, we're still here. You see, God made a decision. God came to a crossroads and said there was nothing existing except for him. And then he made something, and all of this came into being. There was a point A and then a point B. Now, I say all these things because all these things we looked at, there was a new thing when it began. It was a new thing when it started. The vegetation was new. The humans were new. The animals were new when they were created. The earth was new. All these things were new when they were created. And we can see that they also renew each day. The sun goes down, the sun comes up the next day. It's new every day. We go to sleep, we get up, we've refreshed. It's new every day. The vegetation, it goes, some flowers, they go dormant and they open the next day. There's always something new happening the next day. And if you've lived our life for so long, we know that new things happen every day, whether it's good or bad. New things happen every day. And so all of these things that we've talked about gets renewed every day. And what we know in life is that things each day are different. Amen? And they're new. The definition from Webster's Dictionary of new is fresh. I like that word, fresh. Anybody else like that word, fresh? It's just fresh. Praise God. Hey, fresh, hey. Fresh, original, right? Fresh, original. I like original. Sometimes I like to think of myself as original. Sometimes I'm not. My wife reminds me sometimes that it's okay. Different than before is a definition of new. Different than before. Or unfamiliar. Unfamiliar. Now, I could tell you that the different than before situation, I tell you, if I looked at my past or whatever, I could tell you I'm totally different than I was before I met Jesus, before I came to Christ. My wife can tell you all about those stories. I'd rather not, though. There's a quote about crossroads from a guy named Yogi Berra. Anybody know Yogi Berra? The famous baseball player. He was a catcher, right? There's a quote that I came across that I really like, and it goes along with crossroads, is that when you come to a fork in the road, take it. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. That means you make a decision. You got to make a decision somewhere along the line on what you're doing in life. What decision you make can create the things that we go through. And we'll get into that a little bit. There's a poem I want to read you. It's by a guy named Robert Frost. Some of you might know it. It's called The Road Not Taken. It's a fairly popular poem, but I'd like to read it to you because I think it's very fitting for what we're talking about. It says this: two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry, I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down, one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for the passing there, had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trod in black. I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, And I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. I read that poem for that last little part. There's two roads that we come across in our lifetime, and we're going to read about it in Matthew 7 if you want to turn there. There's two roads that we cross, two paths that we cross, and which one are we going to choose? Yogi Berra says, just take the fork. Robert Frost is speaking to us saying, take the road less traveled by. And for him, that has made all the difference. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus speaks about two roads. If we read in verse 13 through 15, it says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gate to life is narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. I believe that relates very good to Robert Frost's poem. The road less traveled is the narrow road, the road that leads to life. Very few find it. But those who find that road to life inherit such a wonderful thing, eternal life. And those who choose the wide road, the one that's most traveled by, or what Jesus calls here the highway to hell, the highway to destruction. Jesus presents us here with a crossroad. Jesus presents us here, I'm standing here and now I have two choices to make. I can either go that way or I can go that way. I believe that in all of our lives, every day, every situation presents us with a crossroads. Do I do this or do I do that? Everything we think about, we say, do I do this? Do I do that? Do I say this? Do I say that? Do I jump here? Do I jump there? Do I drive here? Do I drive there? Do I pay for this? Do I pay for that? Do I wear this? Do I wear that? Do I listen to this? Do I listen to that? Do I say this? Do I read this? Or whatever it is, there's always a crossroads in our decisions to make. And Jesus says this, take the narrow road, because that's the road to eternal life. If you take the wide road, he's telling us that is the road that leads to death or destruction. As Jesus called it, the highway to hell. Let's turn to Proverbs. Amen. Actually, I want to turn to 1 Kings, Old Testament, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. This piece of scripture these couple of next scriptures are talking about, let's just read, 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 21. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver? Hobbling between two opinions. If the Lord is God, then follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. See, Yogi Berra's quote is, take the fork, choose something. If the Lord is God, then follow him. Jeremiah 6. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. That's because we sometimes put our trust in ourselves when we know that we should trust the Lord our God. The Lord tells us to choose his way, but we sometimes get stubborn and say, no, God, I'm going to choose my way. And then we have to deal with the consequences that happens to those things. Right? That's the truth. Whatever we choose to do, we have to deal now with those consequences. So that's why it says here in Jeremiah, stop at the crossroads. Look for the godly way and follow that. Because Jesus is telling us and God is telling us if we don't do that, we may possibly end up in destruction or in a place we don't want to be. And I'm sure, well, I can't speak for you, but I've been there, choosing the wrong way and leading to destruction, almost death. I've been there. I know that road. That's the wide road. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 and 24. This is what the prophet says. This is what I told them. Obey me and I will be your God. And you will be my people. Do everything as I say and all will be well. But he goes on to say this. But my people would not listen to me. They kept doing whatever they wanted, following their stubborn desires of their evil hearts. They went backward instead of forward. Proverbs 14:12 tells us something. I'm going to relate a lot of scripture to what we're talking about. Proverbs 14:12, some of you might know this, says that there is a way, right, that seems good. There's a way that seems right. And I think we see that a lot every day. Oh, that seems good. It's got to be from God because that's good. Well, Proverbs says this, there's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Jesus told us the same thing in Matthew. He said that there's a way to hear and there's a way to hear. And I think in life, we're presented with decisions where we have to stop, as Jeremiah, stop and look around and search the godly way. Seek what is righteous and holy. Seek what is godly and choose that decision. Because far too often, I think we've chosen the other place and been in another place. And then we kick ourselves in the butt saying, why did I do that? I knew this was going to happen. But like in Jeremiah, we followed our stubborn ways. And I'm speaking about myself because I know I followed those stubborn ways. And I found myself in places that I don't even want to talk to you about and things that I don't even comprehend. And Nina knows a little bit, but I haven't really told her a whole lot about that. That was a different me. There's a saying, and sometimes I think we say this a lot and just kind of shove it off, and that's life happens, right? Oh, life happens. Anybody said that before? I've said it before. Hey, you know what? That's life. But you know what? I think that's wrong. Because I think we chose that. I believe that we chose that road. Well, you know what? My car got stolen. That's life. You know, I just can't. That's Douglas. You know? Well, how? How did he get? Well, I left the keys in there, and I left it unlocked, and do you understand? Things like that. I mean, I've heard that story before in Douglas, and at no fault to that person, but it might have been that person's fault by leaving the keys in the door unlocked. You know, but we so much want to pawn things off on other people and say, no, it's not my fault. It's that person's fault. It's not my fault. It was that situation, or I can't believe that happened. I didn't want that to happen. Well, you should have stopped and thought about it. That's what Jesus is telling us, right? Or I could tell you a story that last year I work at the high school and I drive these little John Deere Gators, right? Okay. Well, I left a key in one and I left the garage gate up that we put it in. Lo and behold, I get a text Sunday morning at church. Mr. Nelson, I think your gator's over here. That's odd. Well, I wonder why that happened. Yeah, the guy jumped the fence and broke in, but I left the gate open, I left the garage open, I left the key in the car, or the key in the gator. What do you think is going to happen? I left the door open for that to occur because I did not think it through. I did not do what I was supposed to do. That's an example. I think in life, by saying life happens, or you know, some people say another term, life does happen, but we create most of our own problems. Amen? We create most of our own crud or crap. Why? Because I believe we're at a crossroad and we don't stop to think about the godly way. We think about what is best for us at the moment and then choose that way. For example, maybe that day I wanted to get home to my family and kids, which is not a bad thing, but I didn't do what I was supposed to do at work. So therefore that opened the way to that, right? And so that's just an example of certain things. Now, I'm sure there are deeper and more severe things that we could think about, but I truly believe that that saying is a scapegoat of responsibility. That when we are at a crossroad, we need to stop and think about, am I going to hurt this person? Am I going to hurt that person? Is this going to hurt me? Is this going to waste my money? Is this going to hurt somebody else? Is this going to all of a sudden now give me a bad reputation? How is this going to play out? And the godly wisdom will tell you what you could and should not do. Amen? Because we become a product of our decisions. You may decide to, hey, you know what? I'm gonna have a beer. I'm gonna have a glass of wine. And then in one beer, two beers, three beers, four beers, glass of wine, glass, whole bottle of wine, two bottles of wine later, and you might be doing something stupid. Amen. Or you know what? I'm gonna go on a date with this person and that person, and you know, it's just one date. I mean, you know, I'm just gonna go to their house and we're just gonna talk. We're just gonna sit in the patio and we're just gonna have the conversation. And then this, that, and the other thing happens, and whoop. Somebody slips, you know. Right? I mean, that's the truth, right? I mean, let's be honest about our own evaluation of ourselves when it comes to the decisions that we make. I mean, I made some pretty stupid decisions in my life. And I've reaped those, I'm going to call them non-benefits, because I'm still paying for it. I'm still seeing the aftermath of the decisions that I made later, or earlier in life, when I could have just stopped at that crossroad and said, as in Jeremiah, and sought out the godly wisdom in what to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Proverbs. I'm liking Proverbs today. Proverbs is a good thing to read. I heard once that you should read a proverb a day. I just heard that. I haven't done it, but I just heard it. I hear a lot of things, you know. Amen. You with me? You with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. Mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on the safe path. Verse 27, don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Proverbs is known as the book of wisdom. There's probably a reason that's in there. And if any of us have been in those situations, there's a reason that's there. For me, I just never read it. I didn't know that. But now that I read it, I know that, hey, keep my path straight, keep it safe, and it will keep me away from evil. Proverbs 14. Verse 15. Oh, that's not what I wanted. 16. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. And oh, this word I think is used way too much in our society nowadays. Fools plunge ahead in reckless confidence. Let me read that again. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Oh, you're too cautious. Just do it. Just come on. You think too much. I'm sure some people, we've called people that, and we've told that to people, and we've maybe been told in certain situations that that's who we are. But listen to what happens. Cautious people avoid danger. Hey, man, I hope I avoid danger, but that means I got to be cautious. What does that mean we got to do? We got to stop and think about it. Amen? We got to stop and think about what we're doing. Stop at the crossroads and say, hey, if I go right, what's going to happen? If I go left, what's going to happen? If I stay on the same path, what's going to happen? The wise are cautious and avoid danger, but fools plunge ahead in reckless confidence. At each crossroad that we get to, and I believe, like I said before, I believe that every decision that we make and ever in life and anything that has to do with anything, we're at a crossroad. What school to go to, what job to have, who to go on a date with, or who to call, or who not to call, or who to text, or who not to text, or what job to take here, what job to take here, what car to drive, what car not to drive, what church to go to, what church not to go to, who should be my friends, who shouldn't be my friends. I think those are all crossroads because the decisions that we make ultimately affect the rest of our life. So at each crossroad, I believe that there are things that we might need to leave behind. At each place that we make a decision, there might be something that you need to leave behind and drop. Baggage. Because that baggage, anybody ever had a heavy bag? You just lay on your right side and then you start to lean and then like you start going that way. Anybody ever been there before? Right? Because that baggage might make you lean a certain way, which then when you try to start walking where you want to go, isn't kind of letting you go the way you want to go, but you are following where your baggage from your past is taking you. Amen? So some of us, I think myself, we have to drop the things in the past because that will allow us to go forward on the new venture that God has us for. Amen? And that's the true crossroad because we don't know what's going to happen when we cross the street. But we got to drop what we got, get across the road, and find out what good God has for us at that crossroad. Amen? So what I'm talking about dropping, that baggage that you have, it might be a friend or a so-called friend. You know, that, oh, he's my friend. She's my friend, but, you know, she's into that stuff, and he's into that, but he's my friend. And every time I'm around that friend, I get into what they're involved in. They bring me over to their crap instead of me bringing me over to my awesomeness. Amen? We might hang around with that person that all of a sudden we get around and now we're gossiping. Blah, 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 right? Or get around the person and now we're cursing and talking bad about people. Or we get around that person and we start to do the, right? A little bit too much. Or do a little bit of whatever. Right? There's a crossroads. I mean, we gotta understand that there might be some baggage. So, We might have to get rid of the past. We might have to get rid of that so-called friend. We might have to get rid of that particular music that we were listening to that only brings people down instead of uplifting people. Amen? We might have to get rid of some of the food that's causing us, our bodies, to not do what it's supposed to do. Amen? We might have to get rid of cars or material things or a particular job that you hate and that you despise and that you hate going to and that you just loathe it and you want to call in every day in order to fully follow the road that Jesus has for you. These are things that we might have to do. If we look at the let's go there. I don't think this is on there, but I want to go there. Let's go to Matthew. This is an interesting crossroad. I think it's Matthew. Could be Luke.
Luke.
Thanks, Jessica. Yeah, Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Now, here's a crossroad for you, right? Here's a decision that we somebody needs to make a decision here. We're going to start in verse 18, chapter 18, verse 18. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother." The man replied, "I've obeyed all of these commandments since I was young." So Jesus said, "Okay, all right. There's still one more thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." So this rich man is at a crossroads, right? His decision is either to do one of two things, right? It's either to sell all his stuff, give the money to the poor, follow Jesus, and then have eternal life, which is huge. Or the second road, which is not sell his stuff and not inherit eternal life. Not follow Jesus, right? And not inherit eternal life. That's a huge crossroad. Now, I'm not saying that you need to sell all your stuff. I'm not Jesus. But if Jesus tells you to sell all your stuff, you might want to consider that. Just saying. But what I'm talking about is a crossroad, a choice that has to be made. We know Jesus is our supplier. We know that Jesus is our provider. Jesus is our all in all. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And only can we get to heaven through him. And the rich young ruler, the rich man here, he knew that. But for some reason, he couldn't let go of his past. And his past was all those materials and all of his money and all these things. He couldn't let go of it. It was his idol, you could say. It was what was in front of him before God. You follow what I'm saying? And so his decision was to not follow Jesus. And as we read before, by not following Jesus, that is the highway to, you pick your word, highway to hell, highway to destruction, path to death, whatever it is you want to use. He surpassed all of the benefits of having eternal life and chose eternal death. And I say that because this is an example very much of the things that we deal with, I think, every day. Stuff. We all like to have good things, but when they get in the way of following Jesus, then there might be a problem. Don't throw tomatoes at me. I might eat them. You can throw onions. I'll throw them back. But we all have stuff, don't get me wrong, but this stuff might take us down. Especially if it comes in the way of following the road that Jesus has for your life. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. I believe this prophecy in Isaiah is true now, as it was then, and it'll probably be true in the next 20 years, but it's true, right? I shouldn't say it probably will be true. It's true. It's true forever. Verse 18. Verse 18 and 19, this prophecy is now, it's for now, it's for you, it's for your family, it's for your school, it's for your church, it's for our neighborhood, it's for our city, but do we see it? Because it's, I think, what we have to understand. If we see it, then we're going to go after it. If we saw something good across the road, there wouldn't be a crossroad. We would know that it's right over there, right? There wouldn't be no decision to make. The only decision to make is to make the obvious one, which is to cross the road onto the road where Jesus is, right? If we saw Jesus across the road, would you sit there and be like, you know what, I don't know. I don't know. That's Jesus. But no, we wouldn't do that. We would run probably to him. So here we go. The prophecy says, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for what I'm about to do, a new thing. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? This prophecy here is this. We see God all around. Amen? We see the work of Jesus all around. Do you not see it? Because when you see it, then the decision at the crossroads should be very simple. Because if we don't see it, then that crossroads is going to be a very difficult decision to make. Because we might have to leave something over here in order to get over there. But if we see Jesus right there, then all this might not matter. You follow me? You see what I'm saying? So if we see Jesus, it says here, he already started the new thing. It's already there for you. It's already right in front of you. Then why are we blinded to that? What is the reasoning that you're blinded to what Christ has for you? It's already there. When we are connected with him, we are connected with the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit will reveal that new thing to you. You're at a crossroad now in your life. Get connected to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will reveal the good things God has for you. It will reveal the path that you need to be on. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you in dreams or visions or in other people speaking over your life that the path for you is here and you need to follow it because he's got good things for you in the path. That's what he was trying to tell the rich man. So you follow me, sell your stuff. You don't need it. Why? Because if you follow me, I'll give you more. Amen? But the rich man couldn't see that because all he could see was what he had behind him. He was blinded by the stuff and couldn't see the new things that were set before him. Amen? Let's stay in Isaiah. Let's go to chapter 35. Now, when we were in Matthew chapter 7, there were two roads that we had to go by. The road, which roads were they? Yeah, I'm going to use the question and answer here. I'm a teacher. Give me a break. The narrow road and the wide road, right? Okay, which one is the highway to hell? The wide. All right, gold star. All right. Isaiah 35, chapter 8. Chapter 35, verse 8, excuse me. And a great road will go through that once deserted land. Its name will be holiness, the highway of holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on that. It will only be for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. That's the highway of holiness. So this highway is like this. Let's go to Psalm 31. And we're gonna run through some scriptures here. I'm sorry, Psalm 16. See, I'm all over the place. Just got to follow along here. Psalm 16, verse 11. See, the path of holiness, or the highway of holiness, the highway of righteousness, very simply is this, Psalm 16, 11. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasure of living with you forever. The highway of holiness is the path to life. Number one. The highway of holiness in Psalm 23, verse 3. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths. Bring honor to his name. That is the path of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 20. Follow the steps of good men instead and stay on the paths of the righteous. That is the way of goodness. We're talking about the way of goodness, the way of life, the way of righteousness. And back in Isaiah 59, verse 8, talking about sinners, they don't know where to find peace or what it means to be just and good. They have mapped out crooked roads, and no one who follows them knows a moment's peace. So the path of righteousness, or the path of the highway to holiness, or the highway to righteousness, is found in the way of peace. When you're on that road, you find life, you find goodness, you find righteousness, you find peace. You find these things in Jesus, in the path that he has set for you on the narrow road. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm sorry for a lot of the scriptures, but God is good. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall out and become strong. The highway to holiness or the highway of righteousness is the path of life, the path to righteousness, the way of goodness, the way to peace, and it's the way to eternal life. And it's rooted and grounded in the life and the death of Jesus Christ. Amen? A follower of Christ finds peace, life, righteousness, goodness. A follower of Christ that is on the highway to holiness finds those and reaps those fruits of the Spirit. What are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. They find it on the road. Oppositely, we can follow the road to destruction. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide, for many choose that way. That's the highway to destruction. Very simply, that means this. If we follow the standard of for our society and the standard for our world, we're going to follow down that wide road because that's where everybody's doing it. Everybody does that. Everybody's doing it. You got to do it. Everybody does it. You're going to follow that wide road. And what does it say? It says, hey, it leads to destruction. And you can play it off and say, oh, this preacher is crazy. But the word says, and the word is true. And I think we've all been in a crossroad where we made a decision that led us down a little bit of a destructive path. And when we make holy and godly decisions, we can see the fruit of that. And so you can just take your own life and look at it. When I do bad things, well, I have bad things happen to me. When I do good things or do godly things or make godly decisions, those godly things present themselves and it comes back to me. So you reap what you sow, right? You sow good, you get good. You sow bad, you get bad. It's a pretty obvious thing. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It's a, there is asking you, right? I think it's a question rather than just a blanket statement. It says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join with the mockers. I think it's a question because I think it's posing a question to you. Do I do that? Am I that person? Do I follow the advice of the wicked? Or do I seek out God's guidance? Or do I follow the advice of the world? Do you stand around with sinners? Do you join with mockers? Because that's the path of sinners. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 15. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. I'm sorry, that's chapter 3. Their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong. They're talking about sinners. Their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong. So if you get into a relationship with a sinner or somebody who's not following Christ, then their ways are devious. They get you off the path of righteousness and onto another path, right? And you can say, well, I'm going to change that person. Well, I'm not sure that's going to happen because, well, I think the Holy Spirit is the one who does the changing. Amen? So you have to be careful. I'm going to change that person. And they're going to, yeah, maybe. But you should ask the Holy Spirit as well. So sinners, their path is devious. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Amen? Fools think their way is right. And I'm going to go and read verse 16 too. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. This is the way of the fool. This is the path to destruction, the highway to hell. This is what it looks like. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 9. The Lord detests the way of the wicked. Mind you, he didn't say he doesn't love that person, but it says the Lord detests the way of the wicked. But he loves those who pursue godliness. What we just laid out in about four verses or so is the path of destruction. And what we laid out with four verses before that, very simply, is the path of holiness. And we get to choose. That's the cool thing about God. He says, hey, you choose. You choose your path. And all the times, you know what, I know I used to do this. I just say, I can't believe this happened. And God, I blame you, God. I can't believe you made this happen in my life. It's your fault. I can't believe you do this, but I love you, God, but I can't believe you do this. It's not God's fault. You chose. I chose to do that. Amen? I chose to do this stuff. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. And that's saying, very simply, they're pagans, right? And so Paul here is telling the church of Ephesus, live no longer as they live. Now you know the truth. Now you need to live and make a decision to follow Christ. There's so many stories in here about people and what they did for God, right? You can read about it, or you can't read about it, either way. But the stories that they did, the miracles that they do, there was a point in their life where they had to choose. There's a choice that had to be made. Moses had to choose to, you know, listen to God. Abraham had to choose to listen to God. Ruth, Esther, they all had to choose to listen to God. David had to choose to listen to God and follow their ways. The disciples, Paul, Peter, John, they all had to choose to follow Christ. And a good example that I always like to think about is the disciples that are fishing in a boat, right? That's their job. And Jesus just walks up to them and says, hey, you follow me. They might not have known Jesus from anybody, but the very presence of Jesus implored them or empowered them to follow Jesus, to drop their nets, to make the decision that day, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus that day. Now, it wasn't like they were fishing out on a Saturday morning, this is a nice calm day. That was their occupation. That was their job. That's how they brought home the bacon. In this case, it was the fish, right? But that's how they brought it home, right? They were fishermen, okay? They left all that they knew, right? They left that behind them and started on a new venture. They had to make a decision. I don't know. If Jesus came to me and said, at my work, at school, and said, hey, you know what? Leave what you're doing and follow me. You can make that decision for yourself. But you can see that was their livelihood. That's how they took care of their families. And most possibly the community. So all these stories about people following Jesus, and there was a point in time where they weren't following Jesus. And then a decision, they came to a crossroad where now they had to make a decision. Do I follow Jesus or not? Now they were told the truth. And now they had a decision to make. Do I follow the truth or do I not follow the truth? And I believe that's the crossroad for every Christian when we're talking about following Christ. Amen? Right? We don't know about Christ, or we don't know about the good things of Christ, and then we find out the good things about Christ from an evangelist, or we go to church, or somebody talks to us about God and talks to us about Jesus, right? And then we have a decision to make. Do I follow Christ or do I not follow Christ? And we say, oh, yes, I follow Christ. Yes, all right. And then we go home, and we don't really follow Christ. And then we say, oh, you know what? I gave my heart to God. But you're not really living it out. You see what I'm saying? Those disciples and those people that chose in the Bible, that chose to follow Christ, followed Christ. They didn't say, yes, I'm a follower of God, and then go home and whatever. They followed Christ in everything that they did. The miracles that the people did in the Bible, amazing miracles, amen? Amazing miracles. The funny thing about those things, and I'm going to say it's not funny, but it's funny to me, that about those miracles is that those people had to choose to do that. They had to choose to say, yes, I can heal you. Or yes, I know a God that can heal you. Rather than saying, oh, you know what, I'm not sure that this is going to work today. So, hey, can you pray for this person? Right? I mean, let's be honest. We see people who are at the store and they're sick or they need this or that or the other thing, right? And we say, I know miracles are in the Bible, but miracles are not now. Is that following Christ? What decision did we just make? Let's be honest. Let's be real. Let's check it. Check our heart. Let's be honest. And that crossroad and that decision that we make, you know, I've been through this before, and it kind of hurts me because I feel I'm guilty of this. I've done this before. And if somebody is sick and you know that they want to ask for prayer, but they're not asking you for prayer, but you know in your heart, and your heart starts pounding real big, and you get to, you're like, oh, I know I need to do this, and God, I know you're telling me to do this, and you're like, okay, we'll see you later. And what happens? I just denied the power of God. I just denied the power of God to that person. I just decided in that place and time to go the other road. And that hurts me. I'm sure I'm not alone. But when we get right down to brass tacks and what the word says, in that decision, we didn't choose Christ. I didn't choose Christ. I chose the wide path, the one that everybody goes down. And so when we're saying these stories about, we read the Bible and we read these awesome stories, and I believe these stories are for us to build our faith, to build us up, to build you up, to let you know, hey, you can do this. When you're presented with this at a crossroad, you can do it. Why? Because it was done already. You need a job? Give it to God. Why? The Bible says he's your provider. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. He will get literally just give it to you. Put it in your lap. When we follow God, give him our cares and give him our worries, he will literally give it to you. I've seen it. We've seen it around this church. You ask and you will receive. We follow Christ, we come to that decision, that crossroad place, and we fully commit ourselves to God and fully commit ourselves to following Christ. God does not delay. God comes through in the times that we need him. Amen? But the choice is ours to make, and the choice is mine, and the choice is yours. So do we obey God or do we not obey God? And I understand, I feel like this is a rough kind of message, but I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just trying to give the truth to you. Will we live in sin or will we live above sin? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Will we be a friend to the world or will we be a friend to God? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, the title that there says Living for God, and I believe that this is part of the conversation that we have today, is that are we living for God? And some of us are sitting, I'm thinking myself, and I'm thinking like, well, you know, some of this is good, Mitch, and some of this I just don't believe you. And that's fine. You can think that. But verse 1 through 4 says this. So then, since Christ suffered a physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ and you have finished with sin, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing down your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. Anxious is an action verb that waits for the future. Anxious for the new thing. Amen? Anxious for what's new. Anxious for that what's across the road. Amen? Anxious for that what's on the new path that God has for you. Verse 3, you have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality, their lust, their feasting, their drunkenness, their wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. And of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. Will we befriend the world or will we befriend God? That's the question that is posed here. Are you a friend of the world or are you a friend of God? Because if we're a friend of God, we're going to follow his leading. If we're a friend of the world, we might say we're a friend of God, but God tells us very simply that he might not know us because we're a friend of the world. Will we choose the truth of the gospel? Will we choose the truth before a loved one? Maybe that loved one wants you to go down the wrong path. Will we choose the truth before that loved one? Will we choose the truth of the gospel before personal advantage or before promotions at work or before pleasure or leisure or favors? Will we choose God? Will you choose God? Will I choose God? Let's turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel is in the Old Testament. I'm going to read this story to you. Ezekiel chapter 37. All that we talked about before and the scriptures that I discussed with you and those things pave the way for action on your part, on our part, action. Do we choose? Which way do we choose? Which way are we going? We're walking down the road of life and we come to a decision to make, a fork in the road, right? We come to the path, the wide path or the narrow path. Which path are you going to choose? But it takes an action. It takes us to be alive a little bit to understand what's happening. It takes us to be alive in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of what the world is or the path of righteousness and the path of hell to know which path to take. So I'm going to read this story to you from Ezekiel chapter 37. It says, the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all directions. all among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? He said, O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will breathe life into you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So here's the decision that had to be made by Ezekiel. It says what? He had to choose. Am I going to speak to these bones or not? Am I going to follow the Lord's bidding? Am I going to follow the Lord's what he wants me to do, or am I not going to? An amazing thing starts to happen when he chooses to follow the Lord. He said, verse 7, so I spoke to the message. I spoke this message, just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed over it to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. So he chose to speak life to those bones. He chose to speak the life to those bones and speak those things to come together. And guess what? God came through and he put those bones together. Verse 9 says, then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say this. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, come, oh, breath, come from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. Again, he is presented with a choice. Do I believe God or do I not believe God? Verse 10, so I spoke the message and he commanded me. And breath came into their bodies and they all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. And if we can understand the people of Israel is another way to say the people that follow God. So we can even say to this message is for you today, for me today, about being dead bones that are dead. But if we follow God's leading, God's bidding, we'll become alive again and full in a great army, powerful, not able to be stopped. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They're saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, I prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring back to the land of Israel. When this happens, oh, my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit into you and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Such a powerful prophetic message right here to us today in this age. You might not know God. You might not know the power of God. Or you might be at that place where you think you know, or you may know a little bit. But Ezekiel right here is saying, hey, look, there's more for you. Let me speak to you as I'm speaking to you today and breathe the breath of life into you. Breathe the breath of life into you so you can follow the path of righteousness and not follow the path of destruction. So you can be a great army, a great soldier for the kingdom of God, and not just lie there and be dead bones on the ground and wait for the destruction to happen, but be powerful in the mighty spirit of God within you to speak life to other people, to build them up. Just as Ezekiel spoke life into these dead bones and built them up, you have the same power. We just have to decide to use it. Amen? We have the same power. Ezekiel just spoke words over dead bones, and they came to life. They were bones, dry bones, and they came to life. The message that is in this prophecy is so powerful, we need to get it. That there's a crossroads that we're at, and we got to choose. We got to choose to follow the right path. Choose to let the breath of God breathe into you, to fill you with life, to fill you with strength, so that you can become a great army and go out and battle the destructive part, so that we can see the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? But you got to choose to get off your butt and do things. I'm talking to myself. I got to choose to get off my butt, stop watching TV and stop watching Arrow and all this other stuff, and get out there and do the will of God for my life. Amen? Amen. Stop watching whatever it is. I don't know. Family Feud? I don't know. But we got to get it in us that this message is for us to get life into us, so that we can go out and be a great army. Amen? That we can get to the crossroad and we can say, you know what? I know which path I'm on. I know which road I'm going on. I'm going on this narrow road over here because that's the way to life. That's what's going to keep me alive on this narrow road. And if I know I go over here because I've already been there, then you know you're going to lead to death. So we have to understand that this prophecy very simply is this, that the Lord is breathing life into you right now, breathing life into you by the word of his word. By his word, the Lord has spoken. We need to be woken up. I don't know about any of you. You walk out of this room, you walk out of this church, and there is a world that is dying. And I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually. We are the army. We are the army. We are God's army that he's raising up, like in Ezekiel, breathing the breath of life into us, putting new muscle on, putting new skin on, making us brand new, making us fresh, making us unfamiliar, making it powerful. But we have to choose to do that. We have to choose to go out there and be that way. We have to choose. And just as these dry bones, they were awakened. So I ask, wake up, people. Take the breath of life of God and rise up. Stand up. Live. Live for the kingdom of God. Live for the glory. Don't just sit down and be lazy. Proverbs chapter 12. Let's go there. I want to show you something. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Says, work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave. Now, in the kingdom of God and in the world we live in, that means this. You work hard and you're going to lead people. You work hard and you're going to become a leader. You be lazy and other people will lead you. And it may not be where you want to go. Amen? It may not be where you want to go. And it may not be the path of God that God has for you. But if we work hard, become a leader, now we're leading our life down the path that God wants us to live down. Amen? Amen? That's the truth. You were made for great things. You were made to be a leader. You were created to be a leader. You were made to live life that accentuates your gift from God. Each one of us has a gift from God, whether you know it or not. And God has put us in such a place, and his path will put you in such a place that accentuates the use of your gift. You have a purpose. Let's turn to Psalm, last scripture. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. This is a prayer that I think all of us should read, these two verses. Daily. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like you just where you're at. I'd like you just close your eyes. And I'm going to say this verse again. And you can say it with me if you want to. If you feel like that's something that you should do. Or if you have that urging in your belly. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Oh God. Oh God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way of peace. He is the light amongst your path, and he is the road to salvation. The question is, which road will you take on the crossroads of life? As Jesus said, there's two roads. The one road that everybody takes, and the other road that not very many people take. I implore you today, choose the path least taken. Choose the narrow path. I want you to just close your eyes right now for a second. Search yourself. Search yourself. There's a crossroad in your heart, in your life, right now. If you're at a crossroads right now in your life and you don't know which path to take, give it to God. If you are in a crossroads right now in your life, I'd like to invite you to come up to the front. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you for strength. I want to pray with you for your ability to listen and heed the word of the Lord for your life. So if that's you, I'd like to pray with you for that new direction, that new path, and what that means for your life.